your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Kia ora, Josh. How are you?
Kia ora, I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Excited to talk space. Let's jump into it. What's happening with this Venus flyby?
Yeah, this is a very cool story, kind of a 6 years in the making story. But this is a NASA spacecraft. It's called the Parker Solar Probe, which is currently, for the last 6 years, has been going from between Venus and the Sun, slowly kind of getting closer and closer to the Sun. And about 2 weeks ago, it finished its final flyby of Venus. So it flew past the planet, used it to kind of slow itself down, and now it's basically headed back towards the Sun. But the exciting thing about that is this final orbit that it's going to be doing is going to take it to the closest point to the Sun, and that's also because it's traveling so fast. It's basically going to become the fastest human-made object in history, which is really incredible when you think about it. The neck-breaking speeds of how quick it's going is just mind-blowing when you kind of look at it.
Like, how fast do we have? Are they able to estimate it, or is it like too fast imagine?
I did the math. Yeah, no, I did the math because I was looking it up, and it's something. It's just around 70,000 kilometers per hour. But you know, what does that mean, right? For like a human, how do we conceptualize that? So I did the math. So it's about 192 kilometers per second.
Oh my
so
God.
You know, not per hour, per second. and I did the math. So if you traveled at that speed from Auckland to Wellington, you'd get there in 3 seconds. And if you went from Auckland to Sydney, which is, you know, like a 3-4 hour flight, you'd get there in 11 seconds.
Oh my gosh.
So it's unfathomable to think about that this spacecraft, which has been getting closer and closer to the Sun, is just going so incredibly fast.
It's like,
really
at what
amazing.
Point do we start calling it teleportation? Because I feel like that's up there for me.
Yeah, and it's crazy because, you know, imagine if there were, you know, people on the spacecraft traveling at those incredibly fast speeds. And, you know, the crazy thing also is that even if you were on the spacecraft, you wouldn't necessarily feel that motion, you know, because you're going with the spacecraft. You would feel weightlessness too, even though you were traveling so incredibly fast. But, it's just really amazing to think that we're getting so close to the Sun. You know, we're kind of really touching the Sun, as NASA's been saying. And traveling at these speeds is just, it's amazing that we kind of have not just the technology, but, you know, the smart people to actually do these missions and to get us there.
Well, so not only is it crazy fast, but it is like the closest thing we've ever had to the Sun, right?
Yeah, by a long shot. Yeah, it's the closest object that we've ever sent to the Sun. I think it's like 8 or 9 times-ish closer to the Sun than like Mercury, the closest planet. It's really close. And, you know, when you actually look at like an orbital path of just how close it's really getting within what we call the corona, which is the Sun's atmosphere. So it's, you know, it's really amazing that not that we can just get there and we can send the spacecraft, but also that, you know, it has like this incredible heat shield that is protecting it from the Sun, because you can imagine also just how hot it is out there. So,
yeah, well, I was going to say, if you've told us your exciting math about the speed, then surely there's some crazy numbers around how hot it is.
Yeah, it's the heat shield, it gets to thousands and thousands of degrees.
Oh my God.
It's this material I think NASA developed, it's called carbon-carbon, so it's this very thick, very white and reflective heat shield, but it's just really amazing the effort that went into this mission.
So has the flyby happened already, or is it coming up?
It's coming up, so I think it's actually on Christmas Eve, so the 24th of December, so in just over a month, it'll be making its closest approach and getting it to its fastest speed, so yeah, just over a month to go.
Wow, and then after the mission is completed, we can expect some cool photos, images?
They always send back some really cool images as they fly through the corona, the atmosphere, so we're hoping to get some, you know, really nice flyby images once it's kind of heading back towards Venus.
Okay, and then moving on to a little bit of extraterrestrial drama. What's happening with these UFO whistleblowers?
It's kind of a continuous story. Every few years we get these stories from America of congressional hearings where we have, former NASA employees, we have United States military employees, basically, you know, quote-unquote whistleblowers saying that the United States government or the military basically has evidence or knows of extraterrestrial life or, you know, some type of foreign technology. And they had another congressional hearing I think it was last week, and yeah, we just had more people come forward to say that they think that the government has evidence of UFOs. But yeah, I mean, there's been a few of these over the last few years, and I think they often generate press of, you know, someone saying, hey, we've found aliens, we know if aliens are real. But the reality is, unfortunately, and I watched all these congressional hearings, it just seems to be all smoke and no fire. There's all these anecdotal stories of, well, we know this, but there's actually no evidence, which is, you know, the thing about science is, you know, if you make an extraordinary claim, you have to have extraordinary evidence. And there just isn't any of that. So it's kind of one of those things that, you know, could come out in the future or just could not.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, these people that are coming forward are, like, ex-employees of NASA and such.
Yeah, so a lot of them are, like, high-ranking military employees. So, you know, they work for the Air Force, generals, or there were some former NASA employees who, yeah, kind of within that industry where they have... you know, a lot of secret technology, for example, and it's all military related. They're the ones that are saying, you know, they have evidence of we've been visited before, that we have evidence or, you know,
we've
direct
been visited
video.
Before.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's very airy fairy. And it's like, you know, I, as an astronomer, I would love to sit here and say, like, we've found evidence of life, you know, we've found something else out there. But, you know, we just haven't. The reality is, and, you know, if you make these claims, there has to be evidence, there has to be tangible things. And, you know, and to be peer-reviewed, there needs to be more than just, you know, a former employee saying, oh, well, the government knows of alien life, you know, because that's a really massive changing, you know, world-changing thing to say. But there needs to be evidence.
All right, okay. A little bit baity then, so we'll just have to wait around and see what the next scandal brings.
Yeah, I mean, look, the minute we do find tangible evidence of alien life, yeah, I'll be the first to let you know.
Awesome. Everybody make sure you stay tuned into Spaced Out, because one day Josh is going to tell us that aliens are real.
Look, could be next week, could be in 10 years, I don't know.
Brilliant. Now, I've had 2 weeks to process these election results.
Yeah.
I haven't quite finished processing, and I don't know if I ever will, but we probably should have a little debrief about what this is going to mean for NASA and space for the US.
Yeah, it's obviously we spoke about this just before the election.
Yeah.
Not the results I think obviously most people were hoping for, but I've kind of been looking into the policies of the Trump administration, potentially the people that he's going to appoint for NASA, and also now his, you know, very direct connection to Elon Musk is quite interesting. And I've kind of looked into what this means for NASA, and there's kind of been a few whisperings from NASA employees that apparently a lot of people at NASA are now quite nervous that a lot of their programs and their infrastructure, so their rockets and their spacecraft that they're building for the Artemis missions, a lot of it they think could potentially be cancelled because of this Department of Government efficiency, they're calling it, with Elon Musk basically kind of directing different wings of the government to cut budgets and whatnot. Basically, it's to save money, and NASA's basically now supposedly a bit worried that a lot of these programs that they work on are going to be canned. And, you know, it makes sense in a political framework because, you know, Elon Musk also runs SpaceX, and SpaceX is the one that's building a lot of other stuff for NASA. So, you know, if they cancel NASA's really expensive rockets, you know, Elon Musk could say, well, you know, we can do it much cheaper. We can build these different types of spacecraft. So, you know, it could be something that directly benefits him. And as to whether it, you know, actually progresses space exploration, I think that's, we're going to have to wait a few years to kind of really see the outcomes of those. But I think we're in for a pretty interesting 4 years in terms of space exploration, the direction of NASA.
It's all just like one big bloody conflict of interest, isn't it?
Elon Musk could be
getting a role like this.
And that's the thing. Like, I just find it so strange that, you know, he's not technically employed in a government role. You know, this Department of Government Efficiency is apparently outside of the government, so it has nothing to do with him directly. But I guess it's the only way they can, because like you say, it is a conflict of interest. Like, you know, imagine cancelling like your competitor's order of rockets because you go, oh, well, I can build more and I can do them better and, you know, this and that. So NASA will have a lot of work to do, but you know, and saying all of that, it's not as easy as, you know, Trump or Musk just saying, you know, all right, let's cancel your rockets, we're going to do something else. They could have, you know, policy directions that could change the course of, you know, the next few years, but it's quite hard to simply cancel a program at NASA unless, especially if you've already got, you know, half of the stuff that's built and ready. Like this big rocket that NASA's building at the moment, they're just about to start stacking it and basically building it for the Artemis 2 mission next year. So, you know, it can't just be cancelled and, you know, just left on the pad. It costs billions and billions of dollars to make. So, yeah, I think the effects of it is probably going to have a lot more effects, not just in Trump's term, but I think the next president and then, you know, 4 years in the future, whoever the next administration is, I think is probably going to feel the long-term effects of whatever policy decisions are made today.
Yeah, well, building rockets, bit of a long game, eh?
Yeah, it's a very, very long game, yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Josh. I feel more educated about what's happening out there in the cosmos.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. We'll be talking to you in a couple of weeks.
All right, I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks.
Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.